Hello, everyone. Brian Walker here, and welcome once again to Commerce Experience. Yes, we dropped State Of from the name, and now we're just Commerce Experience. It feels good, I think, to trim down and lose a few pounds, something I've been trying to do. Well, that's what we've been doing with the name. So today, I want to take 10, 15 minutes talking about one of everyone's favorite recent buzzwords and dinner party conversations, the metaverse. Or specifically today, we're going to talk about what a commerce leader should think about the metaverse today based on some recent data that we got back from Commerce Next in collaboration with Comex. And that research was just released, so we'll be sure to provide you links and so forth so you can get your hands on it. That research, I think, is really interesting. So not only is the metaverse very topical, but we also have some light to shine on it based on this research we just got back. Now, of course, the conversation on the metaverse has been building for a very long time. The term itself came from Neal Stephenson's 1992 science fiction novel, Snow Crash. But of course, futurists and technologists have been dreaming of an era where our virtual lives would be as important as our physical realities for maybe even longer than that. But no question, this really hit the radar of many people when Facebook announced last October, which frankly, in and of itself, seems like eons ago now, but they announced last October that they're changing their corporate name to Meta, and of course, staking the company's future on the metaverse. And I think that really was an aha moment for many in the financial community and in the media and really all throughout society to say, what? Try to start understanding this thing. But no question that this once fringe sci-fi idea has been seeping into the collective consciousness and has now solidly hit the radar of many. So as I mentioned, we've got some research. We surveyed 1,400 American consumers together with Commerce Next and ComX, and that's a pretty good sample size. I'm not a statistician, so I'm not going to tell you, you know, what the margins of error are on the percentages here, but my industry analyst background from Forrester tells me that with 1,400 American consumers, it's not going to be massive. So I think it's very good directional information. And we want to cut through the noise and find out what kinds of e-commerce experiences consumers themselves are actually ready to embrace, absent the media agency and VC-backed startup hype. But let's start with the obvious question. I think this is always what, whenever you start talking about this, you have to talk about, what does this actually mean? What do we mean when we say the metaverse? Because, of course, the definition can be so broad. And in fact, I'm going to tell you right now, grab your phone, go to your favorite dictionary app right now, and search for metaverse. Good chance you're not going to get anything back. And that's certainly true for the two apps that I use on my phone, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary and Dictionary.com. Neither of them have a definition at all, which is kind of interesting. Or better yet, just Google with the word metaverse and you're going to see about 51, 52 million results appear. Lots of headlines announcing stuff, including billion-dollar investments and startups worth the value their investors imagine they are worth, thanks to all of that. And Google's description for the search term, fictional world, which sounds about right, and maybe it is in more ways than one. But some out there would describe the metaverse as a 3D version of the internet, basically a place parallel to the physical world where you spend your digital life. A place where you and other people have an avatar and you interact with those other people through their avatars. Yeah, sounds a lot like Second Life, the early 2000s desktop virtual reality phenomenon. And let's also not forget that many of the first online stores were AOL Rain Man stores, which you navigated around to via a quote-unquote virtual mall. It was a terrible experience. And of course, AOL paid for, or you had to pay AOL, excuse me, for these storefronts and all the advertising in this virtual mall. It was just ridiculous. Or else, let's also not forget My Virtual Model, which in a sense was way ahead of its time and maybe in a sense always will be. We'll see. But people keep trying, right? And in fact, when you spend a bit of time reading about what people think of the metaverse, you may find many who would lump all so-called Web3 topics into the metaverse, which would include a very wide range of emerging technologies and experiences and acronyms, including augmented reality, like snap filters, or the ability to visualize what glasses look like on your face, or a sofa in your living room through your phone. Many of us have experience with this to some degree, and it can be a really useful tool, but not only entertainment or your social media feed, but also in shopping and so forth. So certainly some would even group augmented reality into the term metaverse, and I think there's a good argument for that. Some are going to put non-fungible tokens, NFTs, into the definition of metaverse, or kind of into the domain of it, so to speak. That was, of course, digital art, music, really any unit of data stored on a blockchain that can be sold and traded. And of course, that includes even things like tickets and deeds. And well, that's a whole other podcast, maybe to focus on NFTs because it's a broad topic, but you get the idea. Virtual reality, of course, people are going to include experiences you have via hardware like Oculus in places like the Rec Room. Yes, Second Life would be included in a virtual reality environment. Other virtual worlds are emerging. And that kind of bleeds seamlessly into the next category, which would be gaming and virtual play spaces like Roblox, Fortnite, The Sandbox. And of course, these are really about gaming and entertainment primarily. But these are still like rudimentary interpretations of this envisioned internet universe that people are talking about. And some would include immersive gaming experiences like Twitch. But then I think we would have to include something like Zooms and Teams, and I'm just not going to do that. So I'm not sure about that one. But at any rate, and even some would include TikTok and other under the metaverse umbrella and as these immersive social apps. I think that's kind of a stretch, but I'm just kind of giving you the range, right? But in any case, it's no wonder we're all confused because we can't even solidify what we're even talking about. And this is from talking to lots of different experts or doing a lot of reading and research, and you end up actually getting a little bit more confused than not. But you kind of need to make your own decision, which is kind of interesting. But the definition that I actually like the most that I've come across is that the metaverse is a convergence of our physical and digital lives. That's a big nebulous idea, but I think that's where you start to say, okay, that's pretty interesting. It's not just these virtual worlds that kind of stand on their own, but it's how digital and physical start to really blend. That becomes pretty interesting. And certainly from an e-commerce perspective, I think that becomes very interesting, both the products we're going to be buying and the services around them, as well as how we're going to research, buy, and service products through these digital channels. It'll be very interesting. Now, next question, why should we care? Why are we even talking about this at this point in time? And of course, it's really about the eyeballs. Virtual game worlds, for example, now attract at least 500 million monthly active users, the largest of which is Roblox with 210 million active monthly users. They'll realize that someone is active monthly user when they log in once a month. So this is not necessarily 210 million people who are spending half their day on in there. But certainly that's a pretty big number. And of course, the virtual worlds for virtual reality sake, not necessarily like gaming environments, are much smaller than that, maybe 5 to 7 million monthly average users in total. The largest of which is VR chat, which is 4 million monthly active users. So a fairly small audience in there. But given the fragmentation of media and traditional advertising, and of course the challenges these days with acquisition marketing costs skyrocketing and data privacy protection really changing the effectiveness of digital display advertising and targeting, maybe it's no mystery why marketers and financiers are giving a hard look at the metaverse as perhaps the next major growth frontier. And I think that's something to keep in the back of your mind when you hear people hyping it. And it's like, okay, what are they gaining here by getting people excited and willing to start to invest? But I believe the real emotion marketers feel when they think about the metaverse frankly, is fear, or more specifically, FOMO, fear of missing out. Does the date January 9th, 2007 mean anything to you? Well, of course, that was the day Steve Jobs announced the first iPhone. And of course, every marketer alive has PTSD from not understanding the impact of the mobile web and apps. And no one wants to be that person who ignored the web, mobile, social media, voice, and so on again, right? Playing catch up is hard and it's time consuming. We're getting anxious. The virtual hucksters and hype mongers with job titles like Blockhead and NFT strategists are indeed finding an audience because we're all really anxious about that. And I know that sounds really cynical and maybe tips my hand a bit in terms of my point of view here. But the reality is retailers, brands, B2B companies, and really all businesses across a wide swath of the economy, they represent some pretty compelling opportunities to innovate for the whole host of areas and create an immersive brand and shopping experiences that promise to bridge this gap of the digital physical divide. And it's sort of like where there's smoke, there's probably some fire. So to talk about the metaverse is not all BS, but we just have to put it in context. I think an important way of doing that is just even some gut checks. How many consumers have even heard of the metaverse? Despite all the hype and the pandemic driving most age groups into digital spaces of all kinds for work, school, play, and social connection, almost half of consumers surveyed haven't even heard of the metaverse. Only 5% of consumers surveyed are enthusiastic users. And a remaining 47% are only vaguely familiar with the term. And so besides those who frequently use it, maybe another 7% occasionally use it. So in total, that's around, you know, I don't know, what is that? 12% of all consumers overall touch these virtual worlds at all. Now that's overall consumers. So I think it's natural to say, well, what about the gamers and the Gen Zers of the world? Gaming, of course, wildly popular. We went through the numbers. But even amongst younger consumers, really those who are very active to modestly or to limited active is still only around 16% of young consumers or younger population. They may not yet be consumers, unless, of course, they're grabbing their parents' credit card and buying virtual goods and so forth. Interestingly enough, the highest group for engaging in the metaverse was actually 40 to 49-year-olds who came in at 17%, 8% frequently, 9% occasionally. So grab a drink in Second Life, anyone? I think it's also important to note that those who are in these virtual worlds are primarily gaming. So 76% of them. And of course, the next highest is socializing. It was surprising to me that 30% said they are in there to shop, which I think is interesting. I'm not exactly sure what they're doing. That's what they said in the response. So we have to assume it's a measure of what they're actually doing and some intent to do. And it's also maybe retailers and brands that are focused on this demographic or gaming oriented or consumers. There could be something there, I guess is the point. Exactly how to do that still very much in flux. But of course, remember, it's still a small cohort. That 30% is a subset of a subset. So it's still a small cohort that you would be targeting. So bottom line, awareness is very low. Confusion is very high. There's a branding issue around the metaverse. We don't even know what it is. There's a fight, in a sense, or a debate out there in the public square about what it actually is. And even more importantly, how far away is it? Something for us to think about. You know, when it comes to commerce and marketing, we've heard a lot of examples, right? What about these high-profile stores and Roblox and the Sandbox? I think there's something up when every example you hear are the same ones. Gucci sold a $15,000 handbag in Roblox. Lego in Roblox. Digital clothing boutiques for avatars. $3.5 million in economic activity in Second Life during the month of September 2005. Walmart, which I checked out, by the way, and the experience was only a little bit worse than being hungover walking into a Walmart in Coos Bay, Oregon, in search of diapers in the middle of a very hot July afternoon. And yes, that really happened. It was my wife's family reunion. They were not even my kids. So don't get all judgy on me for being hungover. Okay. Anyhow, we move on. You know, the reality, I think, for most of those examples, frankly, was PR. And it worked really, really well. Lots of great PR, lots of media mentions. And in some cases, likely the appearance to their stakeholders, their shareholders, that they're leaning in on innovation. In total, estimates are that there were $100 million spent in 2021 inside gaming platforms for virtual goods, like kind of the ones we're talking about. That's a number that's going to keep expanding, but it's still not a massive number. Bloomberg calculates the metaverse to be at $800 billion market opportunity in 2024. That's only a couple years away. That's big growth, but in total, still a fairly small number. And by the way, they had some really good data sources behind that projection. I won't get into it now, but it checks out. And those $400 billion, $400 billion, half of that will still be gaming related. And even more importantly, to think about, that actually includes the hardware as well. So there's something going on here also that markets consumer electronics. Let's not lose track of that. And note that Facebook did just release their Q1 results and said that their metaverse-focused businesses, ironically named Reality Labs, lost $3.5 billion last year. They did promise, though, this would be a big deal by 2030. So there's that. The reality is this is a very small market, but with a lot of young eyeballs. And of course, as those kids grow up and become consumers with real spending power, yeah, there's something there. Oh, and another thing, on that Gucci example, they have not really said, it's hard to track down anything really in terms of results, but I am going to venture to guess that they sold one handbag and it was probably some crypto bro related to a board member who actually bought it. That's just my story. I have no idea if that's true. Now, when we also dug in on the survey, what are consumers most interested in when it comes to shopping in the metaverse? And it is kind of interesting and maybe kind of reassuring that the number one response was buy real life products. That actually is what they most want to do in the metaverse. They see the metaverse as potentially another way to research and interact with and buy product, but they're not as interested in buying virtual goods at all. So it's not this idea that I'm going to dress up my avatar and so forth and so on. Like, I think there could be something there. And I think it's true that there are younger consumers who might be more keen on how their avatar looks than even how they look. That's not just younger consumers, but just people, I guess I'd say in general. 34% of those surveyed did say that they were interested in going to a virtual mall, which frankly sounds horrid to me. Malls without Orange Julius just do not make sense to me. A virtual one is not going to cut it for me. But hey, I digress. Back to the survey. Interestingly, when you look at the generational splits here, you see try on clothes and visit virtual mall jump out for older consumers. But actually, for Gen Z, younger consumers, it was try on makeup or beauty products or try on glasses/sunglasses. So they're really looking to engage directly with the product and the brand using these augmented reality, virtual reality kind of environments. Again, though, to buy physical product. But it's not like I'm going to go cruise around the mall. No, that's not so much what they're interested in. So it's a more pragmatic, practical kind of application that I think they're most interested in working with. It also jumped out that younger consumers are by far the most interested in NFTs at 19%, far above the other age cohorts. Though, again, they're probably asking for their parents' credit card to do it. So keep that in mind. Let's skip ahead. Let's think about the long term. We threw a bunch of data, different things at you. You know, my point of view anyway is that virtual worlds will be an important extension of your brand and to create co-imagined spaces and experiences with consumers, but the fidelity of those experiences and the democratization, so to speak, of access, frankly, is a long way off. And to describe the metaverse today, as it's not just balkanized, it's like a string of city-states in pre-industrial Europe, right? There's all these different places cropping up. The gaming is naturally very trend-driven and someone's going to release a new game and that game. And that's not to say that Fortnite goes away overnight or Roblox goes away overnight. Far from it. But these are generational environments. So you might actually see like generations end up sticking in one environment while the next generation is in some other new one. Super interesting to think about. But that's what I mean by it's like a string of city states. All right. It's not one place. Far from it. It is interesting to think, though, about high considered products like cars, houses, appliances, industrial or medical machinery, and B2B. There's even some immediate applications for how AR and VR could be meaningful now for those kind of high consideration purchases. And I think that even in the short term, there's also some really interesting ways for brands and retailers to think about NFTs. Now, the reality is a lot of consumers are skeptical about it. They look at it as like a scheme. I think if you're charging for NFTs, that's a tough area, I think, right now. But if you're using NFTs in combination with other products, your physical products could be really an interesting thing, or as a way to reward customers with this asset, this thing, which has value and could be traded. For example, there's a children's toy company, LOL Surprise. They created card packets that you buy, think Pokemon-ish. They have a QR code that's scanned that then unlocks an NFT and a virtual experience connected to the physical card. So you're like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And that kind of like prompts and other ideas, right? You can see where there's something there. Imagine loyalty rewards that are NFTs and are then tradable, right? Or in and of themselves, perks for other things or gateways to experiences that you can have where you incorporate celebrity or unique content, that kind of thing. It could be cool. And of course, we've already talked about how AR is meaningful already. Think of those eyeglasses and makeup examples, and there's a lot of others. Now, apparel, I don't know. We'll have to see. Again, the fidelity of the experience has to improve significantly, I think, for it to become a tool in some categories such as that. I think there's a lot here. I think we have to realize, though, that this is very, very early. You should not be looking at this as a way to justify, or you shouldn't be looking to justify investments in the metaverse with any sort of ROI case right now. I think if you're looking at it in terms of potential PR value, as a way to learn, as a way to wade in, to do something interesting, that could be worth it for you. In some ways, you do not want to wait 5 years to do something, and you certainly don't want to be the one who's kind of surprised. I mean, it's not like we're going to wake up one day and exclaim the metaverse is here, but it's going to be a slow evolution. And then one day we might have an oh shit moment when a competitor or a new entry into the market does something disruptive and it's suddenly hard to catch up to, right? You don't have a plan, you don't have a strategy, you don't have any ideas, and you have no skills, and that's not great. And again, that's where the FOMO comes in, right? let's not be in that position. But certainly, I think taking a slow, studied, cautious, or justifying it more as a brand marketing or PR investment is how I would look at it today. And so on that point, what would be my advice on what to do now? I think number one is education. Allow your staff, your teams, get educated. Education is power, right? Accenture, for example, sent out an Oculus to all its managers who wanted one so that they could know what the hell this thing was and to be able to at least talk about it. A good friend of mine got one, and he's been trying some virtual meetings out and so forth. So he's got a point of view now. Not saying he's an evangelist, I think far from it, but he's got a point of view, right, on how this could work, not just in a meeting context, but how to think about it for clients when they ask, right? Number two, be strategic. Really think through your response, right? And again, this is totally squishy because the metaverse is like evolving and the definition is even unclear as we've established, right? But how does your brand experiences extend, right? How does your target customer likely evolve? Which demographics are you going to be targeting and what kinds of things might they be interested in doing in an environment like this? Could be very different if you're targeting an older consumer who's interested in like hanging out, you know, maybe when they're hanging out, they're interested in learning more about the products or the brand or the activities, the lifestyle that the brand is around. Me, I'm into fly fishing, mixology, and music. So there's lots of different experiences that I'd be into if the brand was surrounding those things. And I could imagine doing a meetup in a virtual world. But if you're targeting a younger consumer, think about this convergence of digital and physical and how it unlocks things and creates experiences or enhances the use of the product. That's what's going to resonate today, anyway, based on the limited amount of data we've got here. So that's an area to investigate, right? And of course, what outcomes do you want to drive and how important are they over what time frame? All those things are subject to change as things evolve, but be strategic. And then number three, look internally. Who within your company has the experience you need right now to start thinking this through? Maybe even building out some experiments. You might have innovation teams or developers or designers and so forth that have been developing some AR, VR or playing with it. You might even have some crypto natives, so to speak, who work for you in your organization. You don't even know who they are or that they're into it. Engaging people inside the organization around these ideas could be really stimulating for the organization. I'm not saying it's going to lead to like a practical project or experience, but I think you're going to learn something along the way and maybe create some interesting excitement. And then who knows, right? Something really interesting could pop out of that, of course. So I think it's still too early to really lean in hard. A few shoppers are going to be buying, and it's really about experimentation and PR value, of course, as we established. But over the next few years, maybe two, maybe five, maybe 10, aspects of the metaverse are indeed going to become a big deal. And so as that happens, of course, other digital channels are not going to become obsolete. We're probably always going to have websites. We're going to have apps for a long time. Voice, all these other digital channels, of course, with the digitally enabled channels like stores and contact centers, et cetera, also not really disappearing, the metaverse becomes another set of channels that we're going to need to combine with those existing channels and those that are digitally enabled today. And again, that's like this seamless convergence, right? But through that, there will be some interesting opportunities, disruption around the experience, disruption around the business models, disruptions around the products, maybe an overused word in our day and age, a disruption. But it's, the English language sometimes is kind of limited, and it's a great word for what we're likely to continue to see as we merge this offline, online, and we see this sort of convergence around community, commerce, engagement, entertainment, all in this mix, right? Now, today, you're probably in good company if you're thinking about this as relatively low on your priority list. Only 11% of e-business leaders are looking in the short term to invest in any sort of AR, VR in the coming year. That comes from another Comex report, by the way, the first one we released, which had a whole host of other priorities ranked. A lot of feedback on investment thesis and what's happening and risks in their business and so on. I encourage you to check that out as well. And by the way, in that same report, only 1% of e-business leaders are looking at crypto or NFTs. So, this just gives you the rough order of where your peers in the industry are putting something like the metaverse. So no need to panic, no need to break glass, but it's worth spending time and innovation cycles on the near future. Let us know what you think. You can find me online at Twitter at BK Walker and, of course, on LinkedIn. Send us mail at podcast@bloomreach.com. And, of course, we'll have links on the landing page on our website for this podcast where you can get access to this research that I talked about very quickly. Thank you again so much for listening. Be safe. Be well. Here's to good business.